All right. Welcome to another episode of The Biscuit. I'm William, the host, and I am very happy to tell you that this episode is brought to you by Lucid Float Spas out of Mount Vernon, Ohio. Lucid Float Spas is a premier sensory deprivation tank center where you can go and get your shit better. Feel better, live better, do better. Lucid Float Spas out of Mount Vernon, Ohio. Go there. Tell them The Biscuit Podcast sent you. And you will get half off your first float. That's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all. We are also partnered up with Parker's Platoon. Parker's Platoon was started by Scott, the Sheriff Parker, who celebrated his 40th birthday over the past week. So happy birthday to him. And it is a nonprofit organization geared towards helping veterans. You know, some who have had life-changing accidents over a war. Some are just at home and need a little help. And some, you know, just want to call Parks and say hi. And he's willing to do that. They're teamed up right now with Receptra, a CBD company, where you can get your topical cream, your CBD oil. Helps with brain trauma, inflammation, anxiety, pain. Parks himself says he wished he had it when he played. Likes to put it on his hands, feel better. And the proceeds go towards a great, great cause, you guys. And a few members of the Parker's Platoon now are getting ready to go over to Seoul, Korea and play and take part in the Paralympics. So keep your eyes out for them. And we wish them all the best of luck. We got a special breakdown of the USA men's Olympic team, speaking of Seoul, Korea. So I hope you guys enjoy. I got my buddy Chris Banity joining me. All right.
Now Probert's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurts!
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe, already fucking sure. We can't all be Gretzky, the muser Bobby Orr's. Hey.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country, we'll stop working on some Batman's fucking cans.
Hi, everybody. It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
Here we go, and we're on. Chris Banity, how are you, my man?
Great. How are you,
dude? I'm doing great. We're gonna talk a little bit of hockey. You all right with that?
Absolutely.
Now you're home from what? Mad Science School?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I just finished and then moved home, and I'm trying to fill time. So I am a master of science officially now. So that's good.
So what, you're going to start creating bodies, or you're going to put chips in people? What way are you going?
I kind of like catch animals and then milk them. That's what I do.
Hey, I do that too, man.
Mm-hmm. probably the only man you've ever met who's milked a mouse on a different continent.
Oh, so that's not a joke on your Twitter profile.
Nope. I actually did that because there are reasons, but yeah, it was done.
So you are literally a mouse milker.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't the main focus of it, but that's, you know, a claim to fame, I guess. Not something that you could really be proud of, though.
How much did that cost you to be able to milk a mouse?
it was kind of free. I mean, I had grants.
Oh, shit.
But, that wasn't the main focus of my research. I was investigating some animal-plant interactions. But I had to make sure that the animals were not pregnant or, you know, had babies when I was using them for experiments. So that's why I had to check, and if they were producing milk, I couldn't use them. But anyway.
Now, have you been able to watch any hockey? I know you're losing faith in the NHL, but have you watched any hockey at all this season?
I've even been to a game.
Fuck yeah, he's back. He's back in.
Well, my buddy was in town, and he said, well, I'm only in town for a couple of days, and I want to see you. And I was like, okay, great. What do you want to do? He says, well, I was thinking we could maybe go to the game. And I was like, you bastard. All right. Well, I'll lift my boycott for you. And we went to the game.
And you had a good time, didn't you?
It was a horror show. We missed. We showed up a little bit late because it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. So we missed like a 10-second fight in the first period.
Oh, you motherfuckers.
Let me tell you.
You motherfuckers.
The entirety of the rest of the game, it was like Christmas Mass in that arena. You could hear a baby cry from across the fucking arena. It was so quiet.
Oh. And
not only that, in the fucking promos, you know, they've got clips of hits and stuff. Well, the hits are sped up at like 1.5 times speed to make them look impressive. And they've got clips of Tarasenko, Steen, and Schwartz fighting like it's something they should be fucking proud of. I was terrified.
Now, I was going to say for the layman and the listeners here that don't know you, you are a Blues fan. And so I was going to say you definitely went to a Blues game, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was Blues Preds.
Blues Preds. Now, the Predators are up there on, you know, as far as fighting majors per team go, I mean, they're like sixth or seventh, which only means as a team they only have like seven fights, but still, that's not a bad game to check out.
Well, I mean, not bad for today.
I can't believe you fucking missed the fight.
Yeah, I was disappointed, but I looked it up afterwards and it was like 10 seconds because, you know, Scotty Hartnell.
Oh, I saw that fight. That was dog shit.
Yeah.
I was glad Scotty did something, but I think after he started it, he was like, okay, guy, you know, I started this, but please don't fucking punch me.
Yeah.
He's so goddamn old, but he's got some grit to him still, but yeah, he definitely isn't one to be chucking knucks out there.
Yeah, I love Scotty Hartnell, but yeah, he's over the hill.
Yeah. Yeah. He was never a great he would fight, but he was never the greatest fighter. But he was always one to at least, like you said, you don't have to have. And I don't know how many times I think we even talked about this online when Tarasenko had to fight a couple months ago.
Embarrassing.
What?
Embarrassing.
And I mean, Tarasenko worked the dude, but it was like, oh man, if he, you know, because it's very easy to break your hand or finger, you know, in a fight, especially bare knuckle. It's not uncommon at all.
So I think he even fought a guy with a visor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what, seven people don't wear the visor.
Yeah.
You know, but for him to have to do that, and I mean, in Tarasenko's defense, he didn't give I forget who he fought at the moment, but he didn't give Homeboy a choice. He pretty much skated over and fucking took matter into his own hands. But that's when you're missing dudes like Thorburn and shit being on the team to do something.
Are we going to talk about that? Because I can talk about that a lot.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, our buddy, how do you say his last name? Sobotka?
Yeah, Sobotka.
Yeah, now he... Now, this, I've seen you tweet about him as well. He was known for his physicality and being that kind of stickler dude. But then, you know, Blues fans were shitting on him. But now he's taken the back seat to that. And now they're shitting on him even more than they were doing before. So it's like, that guy can't win.
And he's absolutely, dude. They told him to his face. The administration and management told him to his face. Vlad, you know, we use you every game, you play every role, you make everybody better, you lead the league in faceoffs, but you don't score enough goals for the money you're asking, so we're going to sign Patrick Berglund instead. They told him he didn't score enough goals, so he says, I go play Russia, and he's gone. And then he comes back. And people are like, well, why is he not hitting anymore? Why is he so focused on trying to play offense? Well, maybe because he just fucking told him that, like, who he is as a player is not worth the money and that he needs to focus on this other thing.
Right.
So,
and he's a great goal scorer. And like you said, he plays plenty of time on the ice, but he's shown flashes of his old self a couple times this season, and that's the Vladimir that I enjoy. And the Blues don't have him. I mean, like we just said, and I'd love to get your viewpoint on losing Thorburn, but I mean, there isn't really that dude on the Blues, and it's what, the best they've been at an All-Star break maybe ever.
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. People are riding Tarasenko for not scoring goals. Now, if you watch any games, which I've caught a couple at the bar, and you see the puck go behind the other team's net and Tarasenko go to get it, he's getting cross-checked in the back for 15 seconds and, like, rubbed into the boards. Well, this didn't fucking happen before, did it?
No.
And I wonder what happened. Well, where's Ryan? Ryan is in Pittsburgh knocking out Washington's, you know, Euro rats and then challenging the bench, and nobody's fucking doing anything about it. And if we're over here and, you know, getting spanked 5-2 by the Coyotes at home on a Saturday night, and the best we can do is throw a punch, miss, and fall down. So,
what a beauty Ryan Reeves is. Seriously, beats the dog shit out and then challenges the whole team.
And nobody even shuffles.
Not even a peep. Not even a peep. And I mean, that was the one I'm thinking of in particular, I think was a Washington game. So Tom Wilson even swallowed it and was like, nah, I'm not fucking with that guy.
And then people are like, well, why isn't Tarasenko playing like he used to? Well, you know, maybe because he traded away his best friend and protector, the best fighter in the league, and now the only enforcer you have in the, I think probably in the entire organization at this point, you're playing like one game a week maybe.
And that's not going to work.
Mm-mm.
I don't see it.
But, I mean, they're doing all right, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as the Central, they're what, sitting in second or third right now?
I haven't really paid attention to the standings for them. I mean, I just kind of pay attention to, like, happenings, right? So,
right.
You know, Jake Allen is in a funk here. Again,
yes.
We don't know what's happening there. Carter Hutton has to like shoulder the main load. Is that going to work?
Now, in small doses, I think Hutton is great. But like you just mentioned, is he ready for the full blown load in his face? I don't think so.
Absolutely, I would be skeptical.
Especially especially when you make Jake Allen the dude.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then I hear, you know, through the Twitter grapevine that Doug Armstrong is, you know, scrambling to solve this goalie problem and looking for a top six forward. Well, I mean, that basically means nothing has changed over the last 5 years, right? Like,
yeah.
Since we did the whole Ryan Miller debacle, kind of looks like we're in a similar position.
Well, there's going to be some people moving around, and I think that game you saw, I think you'll see, I would imagine with, you know, breaking news, Mike Underwood Fisher coming back out of retirement. They would have to move a center, wouldn't they?
The Blues?
No, the Predators with Fisher and fucking, you got Bonino and Kyle Turris. I mean, what are you going to put Fisher? He's going to come out of retirement to play third line minutes. It seems pointless.
I think, don't they have like 8 centers on that team officially, and a bunch of them are just playing wing?
Yeah.
Or is that, so, I don't know. I mean, they're kind of an anomaly since that trade with Colorado and Ottawa.
Yeah, that worked out fairly well for Colorado and Nashville. It seems like Ottawa can't buy a break, man. You think you're getting...
They're down.
You think you're getting Matt Duchene from, you know, 2 seasons ago, and he's just not that guy, or, you know, has to get out of whatever funk he's in. But with Fisher coming back out of retirement, too, I was reading about it today, and it seemed like, you know, Laviolette knew the whole time that he was going to be coming back. He's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I always told him the door's open, he can come back whenever he wants.
Laviolette sounds like a great guy to play for.
Yeah, the what the fuck was the point of the retirement? Like...
Yeah.
I know wife almost cut her face off at home or whatever, but, like, you know, she's got enough money for plastic surgeons and all that jazz. And he says he's been skating this whole time too. So I don't know if it was like a move from upper management to be like, hey, why don't you take like, you know, up until All-Star break off and just kind of hang out and then we'll sign you.
I don't know. That'd be kind of a risky thing, but it is really interesting. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that happen before.
And does he get the C automatically back because it was his and he had to relinquish it when he retired? Like, how does that work?
Ooh, that's a good question. And I wonder how he feels about it, too. Like, you know, he was on that team and the captain for quite a while.
Right.
And then you're at home changing diapers, probably taking the kids to soccer practice, getting a little restless.
Yep. Your wife cuts her face off and you're like, dude, I got to get the fuck out of here. I got to get the fuck out of here. It'll be interesting to see if I would imagine all the boys want him back, though, for it just to like happen like that. And okay, now he's back. You know, it's not like he's going to go play in the AHL for a couple weeks.
Right. And you know, he's like a fantastic leader. So that's, you know,
right.
We're living in this world, you know, in the NHL today where people think, you know, leadership and all that doesn't matter. Well, you know, I think from watching some teams, you can tell it does. So I think it probably helped, you know, no matter what capacity he plays in, just to have him around the team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at a team like Edmonton, for instance. You have arguably the best hockey player in the league. And it doesn't seem like he's, you know, voicing his opinion or trying to lead that team. Yeah, he wears the C, but it's like, I'm really fast and, you know, I can score or throw apples all around the rink, but you know, it doesn't seem like he cares too much about the room, and it's indicative of the record now. I mean, maybe he really wants Rasmus Dahlin with that first pick, and you know, if it comes to that lottery, Edmonton's getting that fucking first pick.
Yeah, they're not above you know, tanking for a decade to, you know, ruin some guys' careers or anything either. So
they do it constantly. it seems like they do it constantly.
They'll get what they want, whether it's good for anybody or not.
But they have been one of the more fun teams to watch. And I was, you know, for a lot of we have a lot of listeners that, you know, dip in and out of the NHL. They, you know, come for the dick jokes and such. But I wanted to say I was fortunate enough to catch Dallas in Florida the other night.
Oh, yes.
And, dude, like you said, you missed the fight in the beginning of the St. Louis game there the other day. I have the worst luck with watching games and changing the channel right before a fight, or like I'll come back, or, you know, and you'll be like, there's blood everywhere. Or the one Wings game I miss all year and Wachowski gets suspended for 10 games during it. It's just like, what the fuck? So now I've had to like sit and be like, okay, I'm going to watch the Dallas Stars versus the Florida Panthers. And I'm not changing the fucking channel. I have to commit, and it finally paid off for me. It was like, I think 3 minutes in the first, or three fights in the first like 6 minutes of the game. Did you happen to see any of those highlights?
Oh yeah, I mean the fights were the highlights, right? I watched all the fights from that game, and quite frankly, some of my favorite things about that entire game were from Hitchcock's post game interview. Dude, where they're like. You know, what's it like coaching a game like this? And he just, like, deadpan the whole time. I've coached a lot of games like this. And then there's, like, a silence.
Yeah.
And then the next question is, like, is it hard to coach a game like that? I mean, it's kind of, like, scary, right? And he's like, you know, I didn't think it was weird. quite frankly, I thought it was fun.
Yes.
Like the whole way through. And I just miss it so much.
Dude, I don't know who the Dallas Stars TV guys are, but I was watching it on the Dallas feed or whatever. Yeah. And the dude sitting in the middle talking about it, I thought he was going to fucking, his boner was going to rip out of his pants and rape both the dudes next to him. He was so excited. But then, I mean, you could see him starting to die off, though, because he knew that, like, that was it for the game. Like,
yeah,
the game after that was going to be dog shit, and he knew the next 40 minutes that, you know, any sort of touching of any kind, the refs would be all over it, and it would be, you know, that would be it.
Yeah, I mean, these as our friends like to call them, these like hero linesmen are out of control, and I don't just mean that as in entertainment's sake. I mean, if we're doing it for safety, how are you going to grab, you're going to horse collar Brian Boyle to the ice from behind, who has no idea you're there. You're going to grab him by his pads and pull him down, and his helmet's going to come off. And you're going to tell me that's safer than letting two guys square off and they know what's going to happen.
Oh, well, did you see the video Fourth Line Voice just posted a couple hours ago of Linesman getting in between, who the fuck was it?
Getzlaff and
yes.
Chara?
Yes. Yeah. And Chara just teeing off?
Yeah. What the fuck do you think? And this is all, you know, if we want to live in a fantasy land, this is all for player safety.
And right? If you're going to fucking grab one of them, grab the 7-foot fucking Lithuanian or wherever the fuck he's from.
Yeah. He's thrown over piles before.
Right.
Like, we've seen it. So I'm not judging him for doing it necessarily, but it was like, if we want to talk about, is this the highest level of hockey? Well, we better have the highest level of officiating, and that's part of it. So do your fucking job.
And no, I mean, for as much shit as Getzlaff's been in, you know, Chara's been fighting for a very long time. And like you said, it's not his fault for using a weapon to his advantage. You know, if you're going to be that tall, you probably don't start shit with Chara because he's going to punch you from wherever he wants.
Yeah, and absolutely.
It's like, you know, like you said, you want to make it safer, but it's almost safer to just let the two dudes go. I mean, half the time now the fights are, you'll be lucky to see a punch. So why not just let it happen and then you move on? What was really weird about the Dallas Florida game is Michael Haley wasn't one of those three guys to go in the fucking that brawl or the fights there. You had McGinn, Bickley, and Petrovic, and Petrovic and Hetherington went. And God damn it, I love Hetherington, but that motherfucker, he needs to go like spend like more time in the AHL and do this down there because he cannot fucking fight to save his life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Petrovic's not like a super tough guy, but he also, you know, he fought Evander Kane 3 times in a game last year or the year before. So, like, he knows a little bit what he's doing, and you're definitely right that that's not somebody you want to, like, learn from fighting.
Right. Funny story, I was at the jungle gym with my kids the other day, and my buddy from high school was down there, and he knew some chick that dated hockey players or whatever, and one of them had dated Sam Jardine, you know, who was in the Blackhawks organization, spent time in San Antonio. I think he's down in Orlando Solar Bears now, but he was just talking about, you know, he played at NCAA hockey with Ohio State. He said once he got into training camp, he said them boys that, you know, spent time in juniors, he's like, they had such an upper hand because they had already gone through it. You know, you're not allowed to fight in the NCAA. And he was like, dude, so I'm trying to fight and make a roster spot, but this kid already has fucking 80 bouts under his belt. It's a disadvantage almost to go to college.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, when your career is going to be hockey.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if I would say a disadvantage. Depends what kind of player you want to be.
Okay,
but if you are one of those guys, then yeah, I could definitely see that being a problem. But even nowadays, like, you read stories about what training camp used to be like, and guys would have to fight, you know, 4 or 5 times, or you hear was it, you know, Tyson Nash and Bissonnette had that pillow talk thing the other day. And Nash is talking about how, you know, he wanted to make a mark for himself, so he ends up, you know, laying out Pavel Dimitra and has to fight Kelly Chase and, like, gets his ass beat. Well, guys would do that, you know, 3 or 4 times in, like, the, you know, first couple of weeks of camp, and now it's just, like, everybody's just kind of zipping around. Nobody, you know. I just don't know. Not that I've spent a ton of time at camps, but the times I have gone was not like that.
The threat of violence has disappeared. So it's completely different, and I really think the league's going to be, I think they're going to regret it, you know. And you know what's happening just as well as I do. You know, you start with the All-Star game 3-on-3. Next thing you know, overtimes are 3-on-3. Then it's going to be 3-on-3, smaller nets, and all this shit. And I don't think I can watch it.
As far as I'm concerned, we already have the NBA on ice. If you look at these scores this year, even just compared to last year, do you know how many, like, 7-4 games we have now?
Like, no, fuck me. No.
You know, that's not entertaining. The fact that our defensemen don't play defense, we're not watching hockey anymore. We're watching, like, a skills exhibition.
Yeah, it's completely different. And it's all, you know, the D-men have to get up on the offensive rush. You had to have Brett Burns on your team who can score 60 goals as a defenseman.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants all defensemen to be Bobby Orr. But, you know, from my, like, watching Bobby Orr clips on YouTube, because I wasn't alive, but watching that shit, well, he did all that offensive stuff and then still played defense. Well, guess what? Because he was a fucking legend. People can't do that, you know? And so we expect him to do the same shit. Well, but they're not playing defense. But it's okay, because they're a puck mover and they have a great first pass. So we'll just, you know, he's a Norris candidate. And we'll just leave it at that.
And Chris, I got to ask you, you know, what's really better when you think about the good of the game? A bunch of goals or, like, goals that were hard earned?
You know, oh, yes. Inflation is a thing.
You know what I mean? There's a difference between 7 fucking goals that, you know, they all-star goals, say that, or 3 goals or 2 goals that were scored, you know, in the first and third period, but dudes had to fucking risk their lives to get there. Like, you know, you had to get into the crease and actually score a fucking goal. There's a huge difference between the two.
Absolutely. You know, it is inflation. I think it was, like, you know, 2011 or 2010 maybe, when, like, Stevie Stamkos was just, like, potting them in, you know?
Yeah.
But he had to fucking work for all those goals. And now we have this, like, gimmick inflated product where people aren't even putting up those numbers, and it's like the defense just kind of, like, stand in the way. You know, they're, like, really good at standing in the way, and that's all they do. You don't pin somebody to the boards. They don't take away the blue line. They just kind of stand in the way and then take away the lanes. It's like, okay, well, that's great. It's not entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's not even as effective as before. So let's just pretend.
It seems more amateur to me.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
It seems more amateur to me. And you know, you just mentioned, you know, being up on the boards. And I think with this lack of physicality, that board play has gotten really dangerous because nobody knows how to act on the boards. There's no sort of law of the land around there. So now you're just fucking, boarding's always been bad, right? You know, a boarding can end a dude's career. But now it seems more often than not that it's just, fuck it, dude. I'm going so goddamn fast anyhow. What do I give a shit if Dick Sucker fucking 32 over here gets his head crushed into the wall? It's not going to matter to me.
I mean, yeah, 100%. But also, we have prioritized speed so much that we get these, like, 175-pound guys out of college zipping around, and then, you know, like, Jimmy Vesey is a perfect example.
Dude, I will fucking...
comes into the league as a rookie. Ugh. First game against the Flyers, apparently doesn't know who Radko Gudas is, flying down the boards, looks over his shoulder, sees Gudas, one of the biggest hitters in the league, like steaming at him, direct line of sight at him, stops on the dime, turns into the boards, and gets fucking killed. Well, whose fault is that? Is that Gudas' fault? Or is it the dumbass and the organization that brought the dumbass in, who never had to develop in the American League for, you know, like 5 or 7 years or something, figure out how to survive? No, they just bring him up because he's fast, and then he kills himself.
There's some kind of fucking, like, alligator analogy to that. Like, is the alligator to blame if you put your hand in front of him or whatever the fuck that would be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And fuck Jimmy Vesey, one. And,
you know, I mean, I don't have any personal feelings about him. That's just a specific incident I can recall.
I do. I call my toilet paper Jimmy Vesey, and I wipe my ass with it every day, dude. I cannot stand that little prick. I don't know. It was all his fucking Harvard bullshit when he was coming into the league. Like, I'm not going to get paid for them. He just rubbed me the wrong. And I know other players have done it. You know, Will Butcher. I mean, even one of my favorite players of all time, Scott Parker, was like, New Jersey, you either pay me or, you know, I'm going somewhere else. I'll go back down and then come back up.
Right.
But for whatever reason, fuck Jimmy VC. He just seems like a dude that I fucking would not like.
I mean, I don't know if I can say, you know, anything like that about him, but it's a common trend, this like turning into the boards thing, and I can't stand it. I mean,
it's cringeworthy, you know, bud. It's cringeworthy. It makes me want to like scream through my television, like, oh shit, dude.
Chris Letang basically puts on a clinic of how to get sent to the hospital. You know, he like goes into the corner to get the puck and plants himself 3 feet off the boards to play the puck instead of like, is there anybody coming to hit me? Like, should I maybe brace on the boards before I play the puck?
Is it is it any surprise that fucks always hurt?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say. He puts on a clinic to go to the hospital. Or wasn't it Truba trying to duck out of a hit from Tom Sestito last year and basically had himself like fucking decapitated?
Oh god, dude.
It's like you're playing professional hockey in the best league in the world with the biggest, strongest, fastest players. If you don't want to be there, don't. If you want to be there, protect yourself.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of self-awareness, at least, especially, you know, you might have been able to get away with it back in the day. Yeah, I know I talk about fucking enforcers a lot. Suck my dick. But there's not that guy that's going to, you know, remind you, like, hey, you know, if you're acting like a dickhead on the boards, I'm going to have to fight tonight. Like, you know what I mean? That's a thing that's not talked about much. Like, and I don't know if the guys spoke to their teammates like that too. Like, but I would imagine that since those guys were so well liked in the room that, you know, Brett Hall was going to go, well, I'm not going to play like a dickhead because I don't want to have Kelly Chase fight.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's nice to know if some shit goes down, I got homeboy back there to lay it down.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think I fucked up earlier, Chris. I think I've had too many beers before I came on. I think I said that Thorburn isn't with the Blues, but he is with the Blues.
Yeah, no, he is. But they haven't been playing him very much, so I thought that might have been what you were talking about.
So I did say that wrong twice, I think.
Well, nobody would have noticed. But
now, now they're going to fucking know. Listen, Daddy got, you know, they make beer in glass bottles, and my wife got me some, and it's Great Lakes. It's from Cleveland. It's quite delicious, but I'm putting on a good buzz, and I started to think there. I was like, no, Thorburn totally is a Blues, but he ain't playing for shit.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of his fights, and he doesn't look too, like, enthused.
Now that I'm thinking of it, he's probably had two or three scraps, maybe, and it looks like he's just kind of throwing it because he's like, fuck, if I want to come back out, you know, this is what I got to do. I think at that point, just let the man go. If you're not going to use him, and, you know, like you had just, you know, you had said earlier in the show that, well, if fucking Tarasenko's going to fight, then why have Chris Thorburn on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it was shameful that he had to fight, but I mean, and if you're in Chris Thorburn's shoes and you get traded to this team and you're like, okay, so they just traded away the best fighter in the league. I know that's not me. Like, they already said in the first press release, like, yeah, we're bringing him over, but we honestly don't know how much we're going to play him. And you get here and you're playing, you know, what's he going to play, like, 30-some games this season?
Yeah.
Like, how does that make you feel? Are you going to be really, well, really wrapped up, ready to go?
Especially if he thought, and I thought he would be one of the guys that Vegas would hold on to. I had a pipe dream that Vegas would keep. They had drafted out of the expansion draft, like, two or three really fucking, like, hardcore as far as 2017-18 goes guys. And I was like, well, fuck, I can't wait to see Derek England and Thorburn, and they had someone else, I forget who it is now, but I was like, well, dude, I even made a bet. I bet Chris Thorburn fights the first Las Vegas game, and then he got traded. I was like, well, shit, he's gonna fit in well. Like you had said, Ryan Reeves is leaving. That's a perfect spot for Chris Thorburn to go.
Yeah. And then here he is, you know, in the press box, like, oh, fuck you, dude.
And he
come on over.
And I thought he did well for himself in Winnipeg last season. I thought he did, you know, a fantastic job of his role there last year.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a special human being to be that loyal to one organization, especially performing that role for so long.
I think it was him and Wachowski went at it last year, and it was one of my favorite fights of all the whole season last season. I'm fairly certain it was a Thorburn-Wachowski fight. I might be speaking out of my ass. But, And this is a thing that I think people that, you know, there's this black and white line. You either like fighting or you don't. But, I mean, there's a gray area, too. You're listening to two fight fans right now, and there is a point where you don't want to see Tarasenko fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I know a girl who, like, that was her first hockey game she went to, and she's like, oh, that was great. I'm like, yeah, we won our $8 million a year 40-goal score and never fighting Russian out there breaking his hand on somebody's visor. Like, well, it's somebody else's job, and they should be upset with themselves that they weren't there.
And you hear all this, the fourth line has to produce. Well, I hate to tell you, fourth lines don't really produce. So now you just have a fourth line with nothing. Like they're not doing.
Yeah.
They're not producing what you want them to. And there's no guy that is catching the eye of the casual fan and exciting an entire stadium of humans by himself. So you've just eliminated the most important fucking part of the live experience in a lot of cases. If you've ever talked to somebody that's gone to a hockey game and seen a fight, that's probably the first thing out of their mouth. I went to the hockey game, there was a fight. And then they go on, you know, then the score comes out and then all that. You know what I mean?
Going for me, and I know this is kind of like a some depending on how sensitive you are, might say this is a perverse perspective.
Have you ever listened to this show?
It's true, I listen all the time. But I can get anything I want out of goals, plays, saves, assists, watching on TV, and seeing highlights. And that's not like a lack of appreciation for it. I love it just as much as somebody else who loves that. But to me, going to a hockey game is like a spiritual experience. And when I go and I see, okay, those two guys bumped, and there are some words exchanged, like what's going to happen on the next shift? You know, those two guys, there's a whack on the laces there. What's going to happen the next time they're out? You know, so oh, he got elbowed. I wonder if, you know, the enforcer's going to go take care of that later. You know, that is watching the drama and storylines unfold that you don't get through the TV is what going to a hockey game is about, and that's gone. So now you just see a bunch of guys zipping back and forth like watching Pong on TV.
Yeah, and I think it's going to miss out on an entire generation of hockey players that are – because if you think about a young kid, my 7-year-old, I'll watch hockey games with him, and, you know, he likes it just fine. But when two guys fight, it's like, in his brain, he's like, holy shit, this is like John Cena and fucking, you know, somebody else on ice. He's like, holy shit, I know this. This is something I can actually get. The whole line changing and everything like that for a young man or woman doesn't click as easy as that very primal instinct in a human brain of, oh shit, it's going down.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And people like to believe this, you know, castrated view of the casual fan that, you know, fighting is bad. We want this family-friendly thing. You talk to, like, you know, college girls about hockey, and they're like, well, I just like it for the fights. I don't actually understand what's going on. Well, you know, at least, well, I don't want to sound like I'm generalizing. I'm just saying those are the girls that I've talked to about hockey, and that's what they say, all of them. So really, you know, we're living in a fantasy land if we think that this non-fighting game with all of the skills and intricacies, which we're actually getting rid of the intricacies of the game.
Yeah, you're right. You're goddamn right.
You think it's going to appeal and draw people in. It's not.
Dude, I'll never forget, like, being a young man and going to Cleveland Lumberjacks games, and there was a fight. There, it was going to happen, and, like, that anticipation, and then it makes me feel kind of like an ass, like, because I'm expecting, like, now as I look back on it, like, oh, I was expecting somebody to, you know, put their life on the line for my entertainment, but that's kind of the job, you know, at the end of the day. And, you know, there was such a lack of research on head injuries and all that. And, but now with, you know, the information that's out about CTE and head trauma and, you know, how much that is literally, not literally, but there's such a little amount actually caused by the fighting itself. But yeah, if you do it over and over and over again, it's bound to happen. But the force of a fist hitting your face is so much different than a 30-mile-per-hour fucking 180-pound dude crushing you. It's just completely different.
Absolutely. And I mean, we can say, you know, the Ice Guardians stat that, you know, 5% of all concussions are caused by fighting, which, you know, that's a league doctor. Like, that is the truth. You could argue that's the truth.
Right. That's, but, you know, and really, that, from that poll, that's that stat. So, you know, as much as stats go, that's that stat. You know what I mean?
But what's really kind of frightening to me is that, let's say, you know, you dissect 20 guys who fought brains and they all have CTE, but you don't look at anybody else's brain.
Right.
That's called confirmation bias. You're basically limiting your pool, you know, to like what you think is going to happen. There are plenty of guys who get concussions just from being hit. And if you're not looking at their brains too, which, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on whose brain has been looked at or not, but I think it's mostly, you know, in the hockey circumstance, it's the fighters whose their brains are being, you know, dissected. That's a biased research method.
Right.
It's not the most genuine way to go about it. You would need a much larger sample size of players fulfilling all different roles. And in that way, it gives you the ability to say, like, okay, there's a statistically significant difference between CTE in fighters and not fighters. But right now, we're just seeing, we looked at, like, five guys who fought, and they, you know, four of them have CTE.
Right.
That doesn't really even tell you anything at all.
Right. And I don't know if you're familiar with the, I don't know who did it, some, I think a school in Boston, but a study of 100, I think it was 100 football players. Ranging from guys that played in high school to NFL players. And it was an alarming number of, like, I think it was 98 of them out of the 100 had CTE.
Right.
And so that's just football players. That's a dude like me who played football in high school. Like, I could be walking around with CTE now. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But it seems, for whatever reason, in our sport and in hockey that, like you had just said, that it's so focused on just these guys who fought that you have to get a broader scope on what's going on. You need to realize that head injuries can happen, you know, going back to Ice Guardians, just that slight jolt of a hit to the chest. You know, any sort of distortion of your brain hitting your skull is going to cause a concussion. And, you know, multiple concussions cause CTE, blah, 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 blah. But the knowledge is there now. Okay, so it's unfortunate that guys like Bob Probert and, you know, Riley Cote and, you know, Scott Parker and these guys didn't know earlier, you know, but if you ask any of them, they still would have done it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now the research is there, and you know that you're risking your well-being, or you could be, but it's still worth it to these guys to get out there on to the ice and to do this. And you'll hear Joe Rogan talk about it all the time. He thinks that the UFC is less safe now that the guys are wearing gloves than they were when they were wearing bare knuckles and no weight classes, because you're going to be more hesitant to throw a fist with bare knuckles than you would even with 4-ounce gloves on.
Yeah.
So And you see, you know, more glove punches now in the league than I've ever seen in my life.
Oh yeah, it's. I mean, to me, that's. I mean, it's kind of like gross on a couple of levels. Where, like, there is no agreement you're going to fight. There's no, you know, rapport between two guys who might fight. It's just you're being held by the officials. I'm kind of upset with you, so I'm just going to pop you. And it's worse with the glove, probably.
Oh, for sure. Would,
you know, otherwise.
I mean, Malkin does it almost every game.
Oh, I fucking hate him. because of that, largely.
He does it almost every game, and luckily for the recipients of his punch, that he's the like one of the largest pussies to ever walk the planet. But yeah. I mean, if he wasn't, that's I don't give a shit what you say. Getting punched with, I mean, those pads aren't soft. If you've ever, I mean,
yeah.
You've had hockey gloves on. I've had it's they're not soft,
right?
And you can throw that with more. Less regard because it doesn't fucking matter. You're not going to feel it. I mean, those things take fucking 100 mile per hour slap shots to them and you don't break your finger. But yeah. I mean, I've punched dickhead Joe fucking cocksucker at the bar and broke 3 of my fingers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And lost the fight.
People, there's a couple, you know, different things we can address from this, but people like to believe, you know, like this is for the player's well-being and all of that. And like, let's be real here. This is not the Soviet national hockey team. Nobody is coming out and telling you, if you don't sign this contract,
you're fucking dead.
I'm going to shoot your family, you know, in your backyard. They know they've played hockey for like 2 decades to make it to the NHL because you have to skate well enough. And they've known what their role was going to be. We'll say minimum like 5 years, probably closer to 10. They know what kind of a player they are. And, you know, like if they want to take those millions of dollars as compensation, like who the fuck are you to tell them they can't?
And these guys, they know that you got about 3 years of professional hockey legitimately to do it. So get as much money as you fucking can. And then, you know, you did it, man. You played professional hockey in the NHL. Like,
yeah
that doesn't happen.
And, you know, like, we, today is the, Bell Let's Talk Day.
Yes.
You know, spreading awareness for mental health.
Yes.
And well-being. And I think it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And I think, you know, the hockey community is a fantastic example of how that can work. You know, I mean, like, this is very large in the hockey community. You've seen it on Twitter, yes, right?
Of course. Now, What exactly is? I mean, I've seen it for years now, but what is Bell?
Well, I think that's just the company, right? And then they just donate, you know, was it 5 cents per retweet? So it ends up being like millions of dollars for, you know, Canadian mental health foundations and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's my understanding of it.
And but, it's important. Know,
what?
It's very important, and I'm glad that, you know, when we had corresponded earlier this afternoon that, you know, you had mentioned, like, hey, today's Bell Let's Talk Day, you know, we should probably mention that. And there's always something or somebody you can talk to about anything. And, I'm sure you have stories in your life with people with mental, you know, depression's a motherfucker, man. It gets a lot of people. You just had a UFC coach kill himself last week. You know, as far as hockey goes, you had Bugard, and it can come so quickly sometimes. And go ahead.
Mean, everybody knows somebody that's been affected, or they're affected themselves. And I think, you know, we have a great thing going in the hockey community based off of some recent tragedies where we're all kind of rallying to support each other. You know, like, it's not just kind of a once a day or once a year thing like it might have used to be when this, you know, mental health awareness thing would come around.
Yeah.
So that's really good. But, you know, mental illness is a very complex issue.
True.
And, like, I think specifically in hockey and hockey media, we're kind of being exposed to this warped perspective in that, you know, we've seen, you know, probably, you know, I've seen like 4 or 5 different posts about, you know, Rick Rippon today,
yeah.
You know, RIP to a true warrior. But, you know, there's been information out there that, you know, he had been struggling with depression for years, and he had all these aspirations to create a foundation, you know, for to help people, and especially kids with mental illness and depression. And that's like a incredible aspiration and hope, you know?
Yeah.
But when he died, we didn't hear any of that. you know, like, hockey media took his face and they put next to it the words, fighter kills himself.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
They dehumanized him. They took away his life, work, and legacy, and they just co-opted his name into their anti-fighting agenda. And now we are, you know, Kevin Bieksa is speaking out about it and spreading awareness, and you know, hockey media is receptive to that now, which is a beautiful thing.
Right.
And, you know, it's like a great thing that this is getting out there. But I don't know of a more, like, dishonest, disingenuous way to approach it than not even treating him like a person and forgetting about, you know, who he was, what he wanted to do, and what his actual issues were, and going straight to how can we use this for what we want.
Well, the great thing, I think, that a lot of people don't focus on such platforms as Twitter is that people, you know, can focus on something like that. You know, you being St. Louis, you know, talking to me here, and, you know, the thousands of listeners that are going to hear this, realize that there's people that do know the real story. And, you know, as much as sports media or hockey media in particular want to focus on the negative aspect of stories like that, or even Bogard when he had killed himself, you know, I feel like an asshole that I can't remember. There was two players there that had lost their lives relatively close to each other. That
I think it was Rippon, Bogard, and Bielak.
You're right. That is exactly right. And the narrative painted by the hockey writers and all that goes around them was this: he fought, he killed himself, it's everyone's fault kind of deal.
Yeah.
Instead of, like you said, Rippon, who was trying to work, you know, maybe had realized his depression, and, you know, it's impossible to know these guys' stories growing up and what happened to them, because hockey players don't talk.
Yeah.
It's something they don't do. There's their cookie cutter answers, and that's that. But what I was saying before I lost you there is that one of the, and I try to focus on the good parts of how this world seems to be turning. And, you know, if I'm going to be on Twitter, I want to concern myself more with the positive aspects of it than the negative shit. So it's good that there's people like you that know the story of Rippon, or, you know, Bogard, and know that it's not just, oh, he got punched in the head, that's what happens, then you kill yourself. That there's positive light even from these guys' untimely demise, and that it keeps going on. And you know, even from a hashtag, as lame as it is, or, you know, as lame as hashtags can be, there's something good coming out of it. You know, we're discussing it now, other people are going to talk about it tomorrow. There is a lot of good that can come out of something like this.
Right. And I was just saying, you know, this is such a complex and widespread issue, and, you know, we all are there for each other, you know, in this community, and, you know, we're all there for our friends and stuff in our real lives, and it's important to realize, you know, just like how much that means. But we need to expect more and demand more of, like, our media and how complex of an issue this is.
Sorry to interrupt you. I think that media is currently trying to swallow a huge suppository that the public is shoving up their ass, that not only do we not need them, that we might be smarter than them, and that there's platforms like podcasts or writers on that have blog spots that are more touching and more in tune with what the public wants than these bullshit narratives that are unnecessary, right, and unwanted.
Absolutely.
I think there's a huge tide coming, and I don't think that a lot of these platforms are going to make it out of it. For instance, I remember being a younger man and watching ESPN all the time. Now I can't turn it on. It's unwatchable.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think there is a huge tide coming.
Yeah, well, you know, let's hope so.
Yes, let's do it.
It needs a change. You know, we've had enough of these articles. You know, we're talking specifically hockey here.
Yes.
I think we've had enough of these articles where someone will start an article talking about how we can't have fighting in hockey, can't have tough hockey, can't have hitting in hockey because it's, not healthy for the players, too much of a psychological strain, too much stress leads to depression and all this kind of stuff. And then they end the article by basically running these entire, lives and legacies through the mud and talking about how they're worthless and they don't deserve a roster spot and they don't deserve the money they get paid. And, you're talking about somebody's entire life and how they support their family, and you're telling them that it's been worthless, right? But you're also saying that you care about these people.
Right.
So we understand this is a very complex issue, but do you think that that really helps people's mental and emotional well-being? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And like you said, I mean, I'll say fuck Jamie Vesey all day long, but I don't think he's worthless and should die and his fucking family's a giant piece of shit and should have been lit on fire in the fucking Holocaust or something like that. There's a difference between I don't like the way the guy plays hockey, and that's pretty much where I stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There needs to be there's lines, and the lines get crossed, and and to anybody who's listening, if you're having any kind of fucking issues, I mean, the hockey family that I've surrounded myself with, say it's Chris or Farmer Rob or Fourth Line Voice or Shane Guilfoyle or All Beard No Teeth, I've never personally met any of these guys, and they're all I consider good friends of mine, and you can DM any of them and talk to them, even if you want to say, hey, the fucking Maple Leafs suck to Farmer Rob and your silo's lame. He'll text you back and be like, nah, dude, that's not true. And and there's places more than ever now to get help and to reach anybody. And literally anybody, you can shoot a fucking a Twitter to, or however you would call that.
Absolutely. I think, the hockey community, or like you said, the hockey family, because we really are all kind of united by this passion, regardless of how much we hate each other occasionally, we're all there to support each other, and it's a beautiful thing that we have going on, kind of everybody trying to get, behind this thing and really get more of an awareness and appreciation for how complex and serious of an issue mental health is.
Right. Absolutely. On a lighter note, Brad Marchand got suspended 5 games for elbowing Marcus Johansson in the head. Did you catch that highlight?
I did. Yeah, I mean, one angle, it looks like he definitely chicken winged that thing out there with an intent.
Oh, for sure he did.
Another angle, well, maybe not.
The behind angle, dude, looked like Marchand doing Marchand shit.
When your name is Brad Marchand, I mean, you've done so much of this stuff before that it really doesn't matter if you did it on purpose. It's like, when Matt Cook, quote unquote, accidentally cut Eric Carlson's Achilles tendon. Well, yeah, you might not have meant to do it, but you probably dreamt about doing it because you're that kind of a guy. So, we can't really give you the benefit of the doubt on that.
Well, then there's this whole thing of that. So they'll deal out the suspension, and then they go, oh, it's Brad Marchand. Let's add a couple more games. And I don't think that that's true. I think that they know full well, this is Brad Marchand, this is what we're giving him. I don't think it's this is a 2-game hit. Oh, it's a pass offender. Let's do some more. Yeah. I really don't think it works that way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to think anymore because I don't know what's a penalty, and I don't even know, what's suspendable with, the whole Cogliano incident.
Oh, God, poor guy.
830 games in a row accidentally bumping a guy a couple seconds late.
Oh, God.
It's over. He didn't even miss a shift.
Yeah.
And he came out and played. Cogliano got suspended for 2 games.
And he was in sight, relatively close to breaking the record, wasn't he? It wasn't that far out.
I think so.
I want to say it was, within, 40 or 30 games away. And this is hockey. This isn't fucking baseball. That's insane, that record.
Yeah.
That really made me realize that George Peros is just fucking reading a book and giving out whatever the book says.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems almost like any kind of a body contact penalty is automatically reviewed, and the majority of them become suspendable offenses. Yep. We're like, is that really the direction we need to take things when, like, it's an outright accident from a guy who's, what, he's never been suspended before?
No.
Bumped a guy.
And he's fucking crying in his interview about it, and, like, every player that you hear talk about him is just like, oh, yeah, he's a great fucking guy. And now it's just gone. And he didn't just get one game, he got two games when he should have just been fined, like, you know, $75,000 or some shit like that.
I mean, I don't even know. Is that a fine? Like, you know, can't you just give him like a 5-minute interference major? Like,
yeah, kick him out of the game.
Yeah, or game misconduct. Exactly. Like, what are you doing, mandatory suspension for bumping a guy? I don't get it.
And so Marshawn gets suspended, but is still allowed to play the All-Star game. And then he goes down there and just kills it. There's like rat signs, and he's taking his picture by him. Like, he took it on the chin, and as much as I don't want to like the guy, I like the guy. Because that's the only way to play it. Like, well, shit, I did it. Everybody knows it was dirty. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, I hate him. You know, as a hockey player, I hate him. And I just can't give him the benefit of the doubt, but it was hilarious. There's like that exterminate the rat sign, and he took his picture with it.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking hilarious. It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You need to piss, my man?
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, piss it up.
Jesus.
Having three kids is no easy piece of pie there.
I can imagine, man. I just have I have a hard time taking care of my animals.
What animals you have? You have the dog?
Yeah, I've got two dogs. I have two ferrets. And then I have a Brazilian short-tailed opossum.
What?
I can send you some pictures of him later.
Please do.
We doing good?
Yeah, we're on. We're back on. Like to sneak it up, sneak it in on you. But what I was saying before we got into all of that was from the Dallas game. I just wanted to mention a few other teams that I think are fun to watch this year as far as a physical play goes. I think Boston and the Ducks, always the Ducks, seem like a good team to watch. If Wachowski's in the lineup, watch a Wings game. The Kings. Yeah. Kings are, if McDermott, like it's you have to watch to see who's in the lineup. Like you said, with St. Louis, if Thor burns in, watch, you know. And the Oilers, Cassian's starting to fucking turn back into Cassian all of a sudden.
Yeah. So that's it's hard for me. I've said it to some of my friends and they were like taken aback. But I'm like, I am starved for, you know, a physical brand of hockey. And quite frankly, you know, like I identify that with the St. Louis brand of hockey. And that's a large part of my problem. But, you know, it's like, Jesus, I think, you know, Boston's one of the only entertaining teams left, and I don't want to like them.
Dude.
But, like,
Chris, I'm almost a fucking Boston Bruins fan. Because Columbus, you know, has always had, like, a Jared Bull or somebody on that team. Like, they've always had at least, if we weren't winning games, we had somebody in there to do something physical. Now it's, we're good. We're, you know, right there in the mix, but we are one of the biggest pussy teams, and they're not as much fun to watch. It's just absolutely. That's just the truth.
It kills me. Like, I know, like, okay, I said in our season preview, you know, if this Blues team wins the Stanley Cup, and they're my team, I want them to, you know, I want them to be successful. But if this team were to win the Stanley Cup, like, that's kind of embarrassing for the NHL. And so, like, this team's not going to win the Stanley Cup, so give me a physical, entertaining, personality, character-driven team that I can watch.
Oh, you know? or be Columbus and let's make the playoffs. We'll play Pittsburgh again, and, oh, great. They have Ryan Reeves now. We couldn't hang with them physically last year when their toughest guy was Evgeny Malkin. So now what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, back when I used to go to Blues games all the time, there were two kinds of games I would go to. I would go against teams like the Thrashers.
Oh, yeah.
Nashville or Columbus, because I knew there would be some like great physical fighting.
Some shit was going down.
Physical hockey. And it would be entertaining and it'd be dramatic.
Columbus Nashville games used to be awesome.
Yeah. Or even the Blues Columbus games.
Oh, yeah.
You guys had Bull and Dorsett and it was like a legitimate rivalry.
Dude, they used to be called a rivalry in, like, if you played a video game and you played the Blues, it'd be like rivalry game. I'm like, oh, shit, okay.
Yeah. Or I would go to games against, like, Pittsburgh or Vancouver because I knew we would just chase them around the whole game and they couldn't do anything about it. And, like, that was entertaining, too. But now everybody is soft and there's no, like, power dynamic of, like, can you just beat up the other team and win? Or is the other team going to be just too good for you? Now everybody is, like, soft and they all play the same style of hockey. So it's just a snooze fest.
It's starting to get to me finally where I'm like, oh, like, and you can't watch the AHL because they're turning it into the NHL, and then there's not many outlets. It's just, you know how President Trump wants trickle down or economics to actually work. It's actually working in the NHL. Like their bullshit is trickling down into the other leagues and. Even, you know, like the Quebec Major Junior, if you get like three fights or something, you're fucking banned. Like, it's getting out of, come on, man. The kid with 10 fights probably is never playing hockey again, dude. Let him have some kind of life.
I watched last year. And man, those kids were stick handling. They were making moves, making risky plays. There were like three or four fights in that game. Like that's what it's supposed to be. Right. That's D to D pass. Pass to the forward breaking out. He gets pushed outside. He makes a shot. The goalie saves it. Then that's a D to D pass to the breaking forward. Pushed out. It's the same shit. It's cookie cutter shit over and over again.
Yeah, it really is, man. Hey, I know in my notes, and you're not the only person to ever be like, I don't know what the fuck that means, because I'll send out notes for my special guest of the week, and like they're really just random words. But MFEM is Madia's Flat Earth Minute, and it's the thing I used to do in like the first like 13 episodes of the show, where I would do like a flat earth conspiracy, like, oh, if you flew a helicopter up in the air and came right back down, why would you be in the same spot kind of shit? Yeah. But and this is a conspiracy I want to bounce off of you, and you had mentioned the word castration earlier. Michael Jackson, I have just read and, you know, heard a few podcasts talk about it, might have been chemically castrated as a young man by his family on purpose. Because the thing they used to do way back in the day to make boys be able to sing in a high-pitched voice, you know, late into their fucking life. And it would explain his, you know, lack of muscle and his weird relationship with children. Your thoughts, Chris Manatee?
Plausible. I don't know if that's confirmable, but it, you know, the pieces might fit.
Now the doctor that killed him with that, whatever the fuck he needed to go to sleep shit.
Yeah.
Has just, he's trying to publish a book where he says that he knows that Michael Jackson was chemically castrated. And I guess it's a process where you inject shit into the testicles. Are you familiar? Are you familiar?
You know, that's never really something that's been flown across my, you know, my
radar. You went to fucking college, Chris.
That's true. I mean, like, okay, so you can do things like that.
Okay, right? There we go. That's what I want to hear.
You can do things like, I don't know, you know, the injection process or the chemical necessary. But I know chemical sterilization is indeed a thing. And it would make sense if they did it, you know, in the developmental process early, you know, before testosterone and puberty took hold. And, you know, they did used to do that. You mentioned it, and they did used to do that whole thing for singers.
It was like a fad.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, ask Bubbles. That's what I say.
Oh, I don't milk meese. I can't speak to chimpanzee. You would have to do that for me. Now, are you a fan of Michael Jackson's music? Is my other question before we leave the MFM.
I mean, I wouldn't say I listen to it, you know, on my own time that regularly. But you got to respect.
You're goddamn right you do. You're goddamn right you do. Like, if Michael Jackson comes on the fucking radio and someone changes it, I'm fucking fighting you. That's just happened.
Respect the classics, respect the greats. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of the Beatles, but I respect what they did.
Fuck the Beatles, Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
Hey, did you watch the All-Star game? I know you didn't.
I did not.
I have to cover it before we get into the United States roster, just because I do run a hockey podcast, despite the last segment.
Let's just say the final All-Star game I watched, and the only reason I watched it, was the John Scott All-Star game.
That was a good one.
It was good.
John Scott, I mean, that was one of the moments that, as far as All-Star games go, you'll always remember the John Scott All-Star game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was incredible.
So some of the highlights out of this year were Taylor Hall gets hurt, so Brian Boyle gets to come.
Yeah, that was really cool, actually. I heard about that.
It was amazing, man. The standing O he got, deservingly so. You know, catching that he has cancer early in its stages and then beating it, then coming back to practice, then playing, and then scoring a goal on cancer night, like... His story's remarkable.
Yeah, he's having a hell of a year.
He's a fucking monster, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
You don't like Brian Boyle. You don't like fucking Brian Boyle. You're a goddamn, you're a cancer racist, man.
I like Brian Boyle, and I was never a big fan of him because I saw him as kind of a pretender in the fight game. But he was always ready and willing, and right now that's good enough. So
it's gotten to that point. Where was he at? Was it the Islanders?
He went. He was on Tampa, and then, or I think it was the Rangers, then Tampa, then Maple Leafs, and then now Devils.
All right. When he was in Tampa, I wanted his head on a fucking pike in my yard because he was such a fucking agitator prick. And like you said, he would just kind of do that pretend shit. But then he got cancer and it's like, well, fuck. God damn it.
I mean, you never want that. Like, I fucking hate Pierre. I fucking hate him. But he doesn't deserve to get cancer. And I hope that he heals 100% completely. Right.
Yeah, just so I can hate him more.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going to be part of it, but for his own sake, too.
Yeah, and I haven't actually even talked about that on the show because so many people knew about it. But so Pierre Maguire, he has colon cancer, right?
Yeah, I think so. Him and, wasn't it Eddie O also?
Yeah, Eddie O, and Eddie O seems to be battling it pretty hard, man. He has his good days, his bad days, but... Yeah, he looks like he's feeling it pretty hard, man. And it breaks my heart. Eddie O's one of the best American hockey players ever.
Yeah, I mean, you never wish that for anybody, especially nobody, you know, in your own community who's got similar values and, you know, a shared passion with you, you know, that you're going to see. You never want to see that happen to him.
This reminds me of a story that I have to say. When I was younger, probably 21, I lived a pretty radical lifestyle. For the people that know me, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I started shitting blood one week, and it was alarming. I was like, what the fuck? I'm 21. Why are my bowel movements blood? So I went to the doctor. I had free health care back then because I didn't make any money because I worked at a restaurant.
Yeah.
No kids. No, not married. Just a fucking scumbag playing in a heavy metal band. So I go and I call my mom and I'm like, hey, you have to take me to the hospital because I am afraid. I've been shitting blood. I don't want to go by myself because they're going to tell me something's wrong. So we get there and the fucking doctor's like, listen, bud, I have to get inside you. I was like, okay. So he's like, do you care? My mom, like, my mom's in the room. He's like, do you want your mom to leave? And I'm like, I mean, she changed my diapers. It's no big deal, dude. So he shoves his fucking fingers into my ass. And it is the most intense thing ever. And like, then I realize my mom's sitting in front of me. And I'm like, oh God, this is like, I got a dude inside of me and my mom's right there. It was one of the weirdest moments of my life. Turns out they don't know why I was shitting blood, and they still don't know.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you went through all of that for not even an answer.
For nothing, dude. They're just like...
For all you know, he did it for fun.
Right, they're just like, well, you know, if it keeps happening, that's bad. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
Well, it's like, there's actually, you're gonna live the rest of your life with a piece of, like, latex glove encompassing, you know, whatever, like, hemorrhage that you had in your intestine. Like,
right.
That man, by shoving his hand up your ass, saved your life. And yeah. You're never even going to be able to thank him.
No.
You don't.
But the point is, go get checked if you're old. I don't know how many old listeners I have. I know my demographic doesn't go that high, but what is it, like 40 you're supposed to go get checked? Go get checked. Don't be weird, dude. It's not that bad. My mom looked at me while I got fingered. It's fine. It's not a big deal. It's in and out, basically. I mean, it sucks. It's like getting an STD test, though. Like, I would rather get fingered by the dude doctor than get a fucking Q-tip shoved down your pee hole by a lady. That was way worse.
Not interested in that.
No, not fun. So the music at the All-Star game was Flo Rida.
And oh, yes.
They have to eliminate music during the introductions. There's no point of it. Just play, like, in-house music, you know. Don't have somebody out there just standing there singing 20 seconds of a song, then dancing. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
So then some fucking gas station attendant called, like, Chase Evans or some shit sings. And listen, Chris, I know you don't like Kid Rock. I do. I thought he killed it.
I don't have anything. I don't have that much against Kid Rock, but.
And I'll say this: I said it, I think, on the last episode. If you haven't seen him live, you can't judge him because motherfucker puts on a show. The tickets cheap, the beer's cheap. Dude parties hard. I'm from Ohio, dude. Give me a break.
That's fair.
He killed it. Willie O'Ree was another highlight. They let him. They didn't let him. I mean, he was there and a part of like the puck drop and everything. Get that motherfucker in the Hall of Fame, please.
Yeah, I really enjoyed you talking about that last time. You know, I did a little bit more research when the first time I heard about him. I think you talked to Shane about him.
Yes.
That guy's got a fantastic story.
Oh, my God, dude. You're
100% right. How is he not in the Hall of Fame?
How wasn't he in the Hall of Fame fucking 20 years ago?
Right? And then wasn't that Scorgie has that film Soul on Ice?
Yeah, he produced Soul on Ice, yep.
Which is it's a fantastic doc about, you know, early black, you know, American and Canadian hockey players. It's fantastic. Anybody, you know, I will call myself a lifelong hockey fan, and I had no idea the contributions that came from that group. You watch that film, you're going to learn.
Oh my God, dude. The slap shot? Fucking butterfly goal, like you, it'll blow your mind. Like, but then you go, oh, it's not surprising that black people did that. Like, they revolutionized the game, man, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, and you know, I could have gone my whole life and never known this shit. And then you watch that, and it's like, okay, so, like you just said, thing after thing after thing they came up with. It's anybody should go check that out.
If you think about the creation of hockey and what how black people played early hockey, the shit they were doing is still relevant.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Also, a wrap-up, though, fastest skater, no surprise, Connor McDavid. They made a big hoopla about nobody wanting to skate against them. Cool. The Oilers aren't making the playoffs. Congratulations, you won fastest skater. I'm getting off the Connor McDavid hype train, man.
I mean, there's no other explanation to me than they have like internal problems.
Right.
I think they have the talent. I think they have Todd McClellan. He's still their coach, right? He's a good coach. They must have some kind of huge, you know, somebody is going after somebody else's wife, or, you know, like Gretzky, somebody's cheating in ping pong or something in that locker room.
It's fucking,
you know?
Gretzky, man.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of internal problem, because there's no excuse for what they did after the year that they had and how they're built.
Yeah. Well, Cam Talbot isn't a good goalie. That also doesn't help. But he's so McJesus is super fast, but he still didn't beat Dylan Larkin's record. And I think Andrés Antetokounmpo is even faster than Dylan Larkin. So if Andrés can get to an All-Star game, I think he'll put Connor McDavid up for his money there. The passing challenge was won by your boy out of St. Louis, Alex Pietrangelo, buddy.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Which, you know, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him, yeah.
Good for him. And good for the Flyers giving you the other All-Star.
Yeah, Shen. Okay, yeah. Shen has been incredible this year.
Oh, man.
And let's not pretend like anybody knew this was going to happen. Like, that was 100%. Yeah, we're just going to dump some salary in Laterra, and we're going to grab Shen, because he's kind of like a grittier top six player that we need. And then he's like number one in the league, fucking unreal.
Killing it. And there's an argument Jaden Schwartz could have gone, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and he got injured. He was injured for a while, so I think he needed the extra time, for sure.
As my older brother calls him, Schwartz Trick.
Yeah.
He's remarkable.
We lost him, and the team fell apart.
A new event, the Save Streak, which is basically every player from a division has a shootout on the goalie. Marc-Andre Fleury saved 14 in a row. It was impressive as all fuck, man. It's a new thing to the All-Star game. I hope they keep it. And he did it with Flair, too, like doing fucking, like, kick over fucking saves. It was great, man. And Pekka Rinne before him had 13. So you're like, well, he just won it, because before that, I think it was 5 saves in a row.
Yeah.
So good for Flower, and fuck you, Pittsburgh, for letting him go and keeping Matt Murray. I hope that bites you in the ass.
I don't know. I understand. I mean, I understand why they did what they did. Like, Fleury's a little bit older. Murray's pretty good and young. I get it. But, that's pretty incredible. I would have never guessed. I am guilty of thinking that Fleury is getting a little bit old. So,
yeah, I'm guilty of not liking Fleury at all. That's what I'm guilty of. And he's good, man. But he's been hurt again. So is Matt Murray. But both of them are fucking pussies. The control relay, another new event, which I didn't realize how hockey players can't put a puck on their stick without their hand. It was kind of sad for the league. The only player that did it with any kind of professionalism was Johnny Hockey, who won the event. The rest of them looked like assholes out there. Did you see any of that?
I saw it in passing. That was the one where they had those like towers
with
a different hole in it would light up, and they had to put the puck through it, right?
Yeah. And Erik Karlsson can't flip a puck up on his blade?
I mean, that's a fair point, but that's like a video game deke. You don't see guys actually doing that ever. Like, they're doing that in their dorm room or whatever, their billet house, when they're like teenagers. They're not doing it in a real game situation.
Yeah, well, maybe he should have crushed a couple fucking beers or whatever and then went out there and did it, because do they not know what they're getting into before? Or maybe the NHL should say, hey, you guys need to be able to flip your puck up on the blade, because a lot of people are watching this.
He grabbed the puck with his hand.
Tyler Seguin couldn't even grab it with his hand and put it on his blade. It was that bad, dude. Hardest shot goes to the Russian, Ovechkin, 101.3. The first forward to win it since another Russian, one of my favorite hockey players of all time, Sergei Fedorov.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. I guess I didn't realize that defensemen just dominate that fucking event.
Well, they're usually bigger and they got longer sticks, so.
Right. So why doesn't a fucking dude just grab a longer stick?
I think they tried that. Didn't they try that? Somebody tried that a couple years ago?
Probably. Probably looked like an asshole. That's why they don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
My boy, Captain America, accuracy shooting, Brock motherfucking Besser, dude, wins it with
I did see that.
Holy fuck, dude, is he good.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
And he gets the MVP of the All-Star game. The Pacific wins, as I had predicted. But I think the most understated thing was Hillary Knight of the Boston Pride from the National Women's Hockey League and member of the Women's Olympic team would have finished third in that event because she demonstrated the event.
Yeah, that was – I mean, like I said, I'm going to full well admit I didn't actually watch. But when I heard that they had those ladies out there, that was really, really cool.
Fuck yeah, like, it was, dude.
Really cool.
It was awesome. I mean,
the Women's Olympic team always performs.
Yes, they
They're
do.
Always at the top.
Yes.
And it's not just because, you know, like people are like, oh, it's women's hockey. No, they're fucking good at it. So –
yeah, they are just as good as Canada. They have the advantage of basically starting at the same time too, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, if the United States women don't medal, it's like what the fuck? If the men don't do it, you're like, ah, well that sucks. But yeah. if the women don't medal, you're like, well that's some bullshit, dude. And this team that they have now going into Seoul is as good as any chance that they've ever had to get gold. And I know they have a bad taste in their mouth from the last Olympics, and they fucking hate those Canadian chicks. So
I know.
I'm looking more forward to them playing than the group we're about to talk about here.
I mean, you probably will see more tension and fireworks with the women's, you know, USA versus Canada than you will in any of the men's games.
Oh yeah. So, we're an hour and a half in, and we're finally getting to the point and the reason why I brought you in, Chris. It's time.
I hope that's okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, my wife can't divorce me. She's not going to get anything from me. United States hockey. It's Olympic time. I don't know. You're younger than me, but we're relatively the same age. But I grew up with the NHL going to the Olympics, and I always liked it. I was disappointed that they didn't go this year, and I started to think negative about this shit. And then I thought, you know, these guys that are going, that's my team. These are the guys I have to get behind. They've worked just as hard as anybody, and they're going to have to be a team to do well as you go down the roster. Because there's not really any one outstanding player on the team. And I fucking hate this argument of, well, professional hockey players aren't supposed to be, or professional athletes aren't supposed to be in the Olympics. Then don't send AHL players. You know, that's professional hockey, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna start out by saying that this is just another thing that I won't forgive the NHL for, not sending players. I understand the arguments, but, you know, you're taking away from the integrity of the sport, I believe, and the culture that supports the sport in not sending the players. Plus, like, you can sit here and tell me, oh, you don't want the players to get hurt and all this shit, and then you make your own fucking tournament to just grab all the money that we would see from what, you know, like.
And it sucked ass.
Yeah.
But think about how competitive these Olympics would have been with the NHL in it.
Oh yeah.
You have 3-4. You have United States, Canada, Sweden, and Russia stocked to the gills with talent in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God! If the and if United States would have made their team correctly, you know, with putting proper young guys in from the NHL, you're talking about a very fucking talented team. And I thought that, okay, so the NHL isn't going in, so I thought you're going to see a lot of World Junior guys come into this team. They went a whole different way, my man.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, so I'm going to say, you know, as far as I also kind of was disheartened in not seeing NHL players go. And then I realized, you know, finally, I'm not going to have to be embarrassed seeing Dustin Brown, Ryan Kessler, and Justin Applicator pulling that USA sweater off.
Jack Johnson was on the World Cup team, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not going to be fucking embarrassed with those scumbags wearing our colors. So then I got really enthused about it. And
no, I'm getting amped up too. And, you know, all these things I said, I don't mean any disrespect to any of these players. And I'm getting fucking kind of jacked up about these guys, man. Because I look at Canada's roster and I don't think they're in any, I really think there's a pretty level playing field going in. Besides maybe goaltending, but
yeah, I saw that too.
But so the team's coached by Granato, Wisconsin's coach. Chelios is going as an assistant. Obviously, this team's going to have a little bit of firepower behind them because Johansson just passed away, unfortunately. But when I look down the team, they looked small to me, and they looked older than I wanted to be. What players to you stick out in mind?
Well, I'm going to say what – I've got a couple of things to say.
Hit me up, Chris.
One thing, players that didn't stick out to me were the goalies.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to pretend like I'm some kind of international hockey expert or, like, you know, expert of all kinds of different leagues and stuff. But I really, like, I don't recognize any of these names. Then you go over and look at Team Canada's goalies, and you're like, oh, yeah, heard of him? Heard of him? Oh, yeah, Ben Scrivens? Yeah, I know who that is.
Ben Scrivens? So, fuck you. That's bullshit, dude. I don't mean disrespect to Brandon Maxwell. But, sir, yeah. I didn't know who you were. You're a 26-year-old playing in the Czech right now. You have a 9-14 record this season. And it's not my place to say, you know, Cal Peterson from Notre Dame should go over you, who's with the Los Angeles Reign now, because that's not the direction of what's going on. And maybe Brandon never plays. But I'm just shocked that it's Brandon Maxwell, David Leggio, who's having a decent year in Munchen right now. But, I mean, nothing to write home about. And then All the shit you could look up or whatever, everybody was saying Zapolsky is going to be the goalie. But it's like, so he's an ECHL Rookie of the Year in 2013, Goalie of the Year that year, and then also MVP of the ECHL that year. But I'm worried about what he's done since 2013.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be real, I mean, these are all elite hockey players.
You're right? Damn right. Exactly. You're goddamn right.
We can throw out some of our bias there. And this dude, okay, he's in Zapolsky, where, you know, he's got the best save percentage out of all of them. I think he's .932 in the KHL.
Right.
Now, the stereotype about the KHL versus the NHL, the biggest stereotype, you know, well, one of the biggest stereotypes is that the goalies are just not as good. But, I mean, .932 save percentage in a skill-oriented league, in a top world league, you know, I'm worried, but I'm not that worried.
I hope that he can take the bulk of the games, because it looks, and like you said, these guys are elite fucking hockey players. So, I mean, maybe Brandon Maxwell's fucking has a Ryan Miller all of a sudden and is like a hero. You know, it's not impossible for a handful of these guys to make themselves I mean, look at the Miracle team. Nobody thought that those guys were going to do dick.
Right.
So the United States hockey team has almost performed better under these kind of circumstances.
Right. I mean, we can go with all of the cliches, and this is going to sound like a cliche, but, you know, it's all about getting the right mix of players. And that's what makes a team sport like hockey so special.
Yes.
It's not just about a team. It's that everybody has a job, and everybody specializes at their job. At least that's how it's supposed to be. So in the Olympics, that looks like the kind of thing that we went with building this team, where, you know, we've got all kinds of different players.
Yes.
They all should know what their job is.
Yeah, and some of these guys come from, you know, a lot of them went to BU, or, you know, not a lot of them spent time in the NHL with each other, but I really hope that they can mesh well with each other. And, you know, let's just get into these guys. This only happens once every 4 years. I'm going to mention every one of these guys because it's the fucking Olympics. These guys have worked their entire lives for this. And it's time, as a country and as fans of hockey, that and I'm a fan of United States hockey. I'm going to get behind these guys, and I'm going to root for these guys. And that's just how it's going to be.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to go down the list that I have, man, and see if you have anything to say about each player. So I got Mark Archibello, a forward, 140, give or so, games for in the NHL, Edmonton, Arizona, Nashville. He kind of fits under that thing of not the biggest dude and not the youngest dude, but he's going to have to fit into this team, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some NHL experience. I was happy to see that they selected a few players like him, Brian Gionta, Wisniewski.
Yes.
Some guys who have played with that, you know, familiarity to what North American systems, and all of these guys, of course, they're fucking Americans, right? So they're going to have grown up playing that. But I think I'm worried about a little bit of a meshing problem with guys going away and playing. You know, we got five guys in the KHL, one guy in the Czech league, one guy in the best German league, one guy in the bottom German league, you know, all this kind of, I'm worried about kind of bringing that together a little bit.
Yeah. You know? And you just mentioned two dudes that are going to be huge to this team. Obviously, the captain, Brian Gionta, also was on the Olympian team in 2006. Stanley Cup champion, a captain for 7 years in the NHL, and a very rare captain for the Montreal Habitants, where they don't like to make Americans captains. I think he's one of four to ever do it.
Right.
So a lot of this team is going to be how he can get these boys to get together and play. He was captain of the Buffalo two seasons ago, and it was just his time to get out of there. Buffalo's going, Eichel's, you know, running the team. And you mentioned my favorite player on the roster, to no surprise probably, is James Wisniewski. Was part of the first ever gold team for the World Juniors for America. Had four really good seasons in Columbus. I was a huge fan of his. He is a defenseman that can make offense happen. And they're going to need him because he can fucking sauce all over the fucking ice. Had 44 apples in 13 and 14. Over 500 games of NHL experience. He's going to be on the top pairing, I would imagine. So a lot is going to rest on it. And he's been playing in whatever butthole league he's in, so I hope he can get in. And do they have prelims for Olympics or anything like that?
I think they do, but I'm not sure. I think a lot of people might be skeptical, seeing like, oh, this guy's, you know, Swedish hockey league, this guy's playing in the German league, this guy's, you know, college, KHL, whatever. But all these guys that are playing professionally abroad, they've been decorated all-stars and champions in whatever league they're playing in.
Right.
You know? And so people could be skeptical and think that, but when somebody is the, you know, like, a player that I'm looking forward to seeing, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm too familiar with them, but I looked him up on YouTube. Looks like this Noah Welch guy, this defenseman. He's got some hitting ability,
dude. Which I like 6'4", 200 pounds, yeah. Dude.
Yeah, he and you know when you are the you're on the championship team, you have the highest average time on ice the next year. Sorry, in the championship year, you're the most penalized player and the most penalized playoff player.
Oh yeah,
but also the playoffs MVP. Like, yeah. I'm pretty interested in what you bring to the table.
So Noah Welch is definitely biscuit approved for sure, and yeah. Really, there's not like. The one thing that I kept seeing from him, and it was like crazy, on like not related to hockey at all. Like anything I look up, they'd be like, he really likes Good Will Hunting. I'm like, what? That's not a fucking stat. Why do they keep seeing that shit? But I like that movie too, man. Shit, applesauce, bitch.
Yeah.
A player I'm really looking forward to seeing. Also a D-man, which is. You know, I guess I'm just only looking forward to the D on this team, but Matt Gilroy. So he's a Hobie Baker winner in 09, national championships with that BU team in 09. I think if you have him, Welch, and Wyszynski playing their best hockey that they can, man, I really don't think that there's a lot of teams that could penetrate that shit.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to find out, and we're going to have to find out early. What the best pairings and stuff are.
Well, you throw how about throw Will Borgen up in there with one of the old guys? You know, he's playing in St. Cloud now. One of the few young guys on the roster. You know, so yeah, I like you said, it's gonna be interesting to see what the pairings are.
Yeah, I mean. I'm always a fan of, you know, like, if you're going to have an offensive or two-way defenseman, then you pair your best defensive defenseman with him so that things are taken care of. Right. But, you know, I'm not a fucking coach, so we'll just see what happens.
Well, we'll just continue on with D-men. We got Ryan Gunderson, a fucking stud from the ECHL.
Yeah, dude, his assist numbers are fucking wild.
He's a fucking stud, man. He kills the East Coast Hockey League, dude. He fucking dominates that thing. Yeah. Bobby Sanguinetti, one of the bigger dudes, made most of his noise in 09 in the AHL. Stands about 6'3". I know they're hoping a lot out of him. No, go for it, bud.
I was gonna say he's a playoff performer tested in the AHL, so we know like you know, in these Olympic tournaments. In my perspective, you know, you're not necessarily looking for the guy who's gonna have this prolonged, consistent thing.
Great point, Chris.
You got to get the guy who's gonna be with it necessarily for a shorter period of time. So. But that's a risky gamble to make because the guy who's consistent long term could also be just as consistent in a tournament. So it's kind of a gamble of how you play it.
That's what I looked up about the goalies too, is how they fared in playoff, goalie situations. And Brandon Maxwell does not fare well. I'm worried about Brandon Maxwell, man. I hope I'm super wrong about Brandon Maxwell. Maybe he'll be my favorite goalie after this. I hope. Super worried about him.
Well, how much is number two or number three goalie going to play, then?
That's what I'm saying, man. I think Zapolsky's got a lot coming to him, and I don't know if the other two are. Well, Leggio's going to have to play, and I imagine Maxwell's the third. But I mean, people can get fucking hurt. It's Korea, so who knows what kind of fucking dysentery or shit they're going to get?
Yeah, dude. I don't even want to think about that. North Korea keeps. Yeah, we're going to send this sports team now, and we're going to send this sports team. I'm thinking to myself, these are all sleeper cell agents, man. They're all just coming across the border, and people let their guard down, or they're just going to all defect. So we'll just find out.
Couple more D-men on the team. We got Jonathan Pullum and Chad Billings. Billings being a two-time AHL All-Star, 2013 Calder Cup motherfucking champion with my wife's favorite AHL team, the Grand Rapids Griffins. And then Jonathan Pullum, a captain of the 09 World Juniors, and 110 NHL games played, man. I think that NHL experience is going to help these guys out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not trying to pretend like, you know, I'm like good at hockey or anything, but I would expect that you would learn certain things from playing in that league that you might not learn in other leagues.
Bro, if you're a two-time AHL All-Star, that you're an Olympic champion. I mean, like Billings is going to fucking kill it.
I mean, my best plus minus in SHL 2015-2016, I know the plus minus is like not a great stat to judge somebody on.
But still a stat.
But it's still, you know, I'm not, listen, if anybody tries to come at me with some analytics bullshit.
please. I know nobody that listens to Biscuit, there are analytic fans, but I know you guys have analytic fans. Tell them to DM Chris Manatee and talk to him about numbers. He would love it.
I'll get heated. But plus minus, I mean, it's intriguing to say the least. There you go.
That's a good word.
Getting me in the right state of mind about him.
That's a good word for it. It's an intriguing stat.
Yeah.
It's an intriguing stat. Couple forwards for you, bud. Chris Bjork. He's a masshole. He's a fucking Hershey Bear. I think his dad's a pretty cool guy, isn't he?
I was talking to, what was that, Swedish woman, Bjork.
Shirty birdie third.
One thing I do really like about this team, which is kind of like meta, is that these are guys from all over the country. We got Florida, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, Minnesota, America. Michigan, North Carolina, California. Like, Arizona, we've got guys from all over the country. You know, this is not just Minnesota and Michigan.
Right. You know, that's a good point, man. I think it brings a better chance for the country to rally behind these guys. Like you said, because it's usually Minnesota, Michigan, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And that's it. So he's the AHL MVP from two seasons ago.
Yeah,
isn't his fucking dad Raymond Bjork?
Oh, Bjork. Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, my joke fucking. I was hoping my joke hit harder, man.
Well, I mean, you're saying his name wrong, so I was confused.
Well, I say Bjork. What is it, Bjork?
That's how I always said it.
Well, I have a fucking Ohio accent, bud.
That's fair. Just, I don't know. I can't help you with that.
Dude, I will play a Nelly song after this goddamn podcast.
Hey. He never did anything. All of that crack on the tour bus was just his buddies.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, I free base coke once. It's cool. So, Chris Bjork.
Okay, sure. Yeah, we're going. Yeah, okay.
Dad's a cool guy. Pretty good hockey player.
Yeah. I would say he should probably have learned a few things in his youth.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he takes more of a leadership role in this team than he's expected to.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of who his dad is. And, I mean, if you're an MVP of the AHL, you're coming in hot, man. He's coming in. Oh, he's coming in his prime, dude. He's trying to get an NHL job out of this shit.
I didn't even think about that, but that's a really good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, one of the sweeter moments, and thank you, social media, is Bobby Butler and his dad video. 2010 Hockey East MVP. You know, he's at practice and says, "Hey, Dad, I made the fucking Olympics." His dad cries. Pretty beautiful moment. But that's all I really know about Bobby Butler, man.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm a little bit less familiar with some of these forwards.
Dude, I found that too. I was like, man, I know some of these D guys, but these forwards they're kind of fucking losing me through here.
This John McCarthy sounded pretty interesting. Looks like a guy that can you know, be a goal scorer and, you know, just make smart plays, racks up assists. And he's got some captaincy experience with San Jose Barracuda.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, those are good signs. When a guy is willing to do whatever it takes to win in terms of, you know, offensive ability, he can do more than just one thing.
And he's part of that 09 BU team, championship team, too. So he's was there with Kilroy as well. So he's so he's got, you know, some locker room fucking familiarity never hurts. That's for goddamn sure.
Yeah.
Ryan Donato, bronze 2016, 15 points with Harvard right now and 10 games played. You can't hate a dude with 15 points through 10 games. you can't hate that dude. And he's one of the younger pups on there, so we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, but he's going to Harvard, man. Maybe he knows Jimmy Vesey.
I fucking hope he does and he hates him.
There you go.
An older cat, old Chad Kolarik, he's an all-star for the AHL in 2013. He has led the SHL with 30 goals and... I don't expect a lot out of Mr. Kolarik, but I'm glad you're on the team, sir. Thank you for serving the fucking country.
Yeah, this is public service for the country of the United States of America. It's not only just public service or community service, however you want to see it. It's during a time of need. So, yes, thank you.
And coming over with him from the SHL is Mr. Brock Little playing the forward as well. Another MVP in this guy, dude, from the AHL. This is 2005, and he's going to be playing forward. Thank you for being on the Olympics, Mr. Brian O'Neill. I wish you the best of luck, sir.
You were not kidding. These are some like tiny, small guys. I can't say
they're not. There's not many big humans on this team, man.
Yeah, I mean, usually, like, I mean, I just. Before we started, I talked about some guys that I didn't like that you were usually on USA rosters, and like they're kind of bigger guys. But we'll see how this whole new, you know, smaller, faster type of team can do in the Olympics, because, you know, we haven't been doing spectacularly with the other strategy.
No. I always gauge it. I'm like 6'4", 6'5", 230 pounds. If you're smaller than me, you're small. That's just how I look at it. And I'm a sizeist, dude. I like big hockey players. I'm weird. A gentleman named Garrett Rowe with 178 NCAA points. I don't know how far that's going to take him here. I think college hockey is a lot different than international hockey. I hope Mr. Rowe has played in international ice, because it's going to be a lot different, man.
Yeah, so, like, you know, these guys, thankfully, I think there's only, like, two college players, right?
Yeah.
They've probably never seen the larger ice surface, which the Olympics, you know, that's what they do. But I hope they'll be, like, cushioned, you know, in these guys that have been playing abroad in Europe.
Troy Terry, 2017... national motherfucking champ for the Denver. What is Denver's mascot? Pioneers. He's a Anaheim Ducks draft pick. Expect him too to get in there and fucking mix it up and be like, "Hey guys, this is what you picked. Let me get in there and mix it up a little bit."
I mean, that's what the Ducks do. So hopefully he lives up to that.
This is Troy. Players like Troy Terry are what I thought this team would be made of. More guys like you'd seen if you watch Kurt Russell's Miracle movie. Dudes like that. Jim Slater, maybe the most experienced guy besides Gianta, with almost 600 NHL games, 138 points. You'll like this about Mr. Slater. Over 400 pims, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I recognize that name.
You goddamn right you do, because you're a good human.
It's got to be a reason why I recognize that name. And 400-plus penalty minutes, that's probably put him on my radar.
standing at 6'3", weighing at 212 pounds, Mr. Ryan Stoa, 2017 KHL All-Star. He's had 40 NHL games. As far as forwards go, there's not a lot of boys in the team built like him. I wish him the best. And I saved my most intriguing player for last and my favorite player on the roster besides James Wisniewski, Jordan motherfucking Greenway.
Yeah?
Badass, 6'5", 230, 2017 World Junior Gold medalist. I think he tied for points on the team out of that tournament. Does not give a fuck, dude.
Yeah, I think I've heard you talk about him before. I recognize the name.
I love Jordan Greenway. I cannot wait to fucking see him play. I hope he plays on all the shifts. He's the fucking man.
I mean, no matter how docile and quote-unquote friendly the Olympics are, it's still hockey.
You're goddamn right. So
I still
want
to see him mix them up. I was hoping beyond hope, and apparently it was an unrealistic hope, that I might see Jerome Iginla and Shane Doan in the Olympics.
Yeah, man. I was hoping that too. I was hoping Brady Tkachuk could go.
Oh yeah. He just ran guys over.
Yeah, I really thought there was room on this roster for Brady Tkachuk. Dude, as much as I think the shit's leaving, there's kids like Brady Tkachuk that like saw their dad play and want it back. So I hope there's more kids like that. Brady Kachuk's a gem.
I loved his interview on Spittin' Chicklets?
Oh, yeah, it was great, dude. He's like, yeah, I'll fucking fight my brother and beat his ass, dude. What a great kid, man. Before I let you go, Chris, Jaromír Jágr is officially done.
I mean, I was hurt. I'm not going to lie.
I was too, dude.
I'm not going to pretend like I've lived the Jágr, you know, like if you're making a book series about it. I didn't live Jágr origins. I lived like Jágr, the gray years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I love Jágr. I love his personality. I mean, if you're going to tell me, people are trying to make it look like, oh man, he's been done for years.
Oh, fuck you, dude. He made the All-Star team. Like, yeah, dude, fuck that.
Did you see what he did for Florida?
Right.
He was a big part of turning that team around. And yeah, you know, he didn't fit well with Calgary
in
the way they play, and he got hurt, and he's old. But don't sit here and try and I hate this shit where we're like, well, y'all, I mean, like, Wayne Gretzky would never be that good today. And like,
don't even give me.
It'd still be better. Like, no, just take that idea and shove it up your ass. Because these guys today, like, Jágr is better than so many guys in the league. He's just too old to be who he wants to be.
Dude.
You know?
Wayne Gretzky would have a fucking. Wayne Gretzky was the best. I'm sorry. Get over it.
Yeah, don't come at me with era adjusted stats because you're just going
to
be lying.
No,
living a lie and you know it.
Because these fucking chumps wouldn't even know what shit is if it wasn't for Gretzky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want to hear that shit, dude. Well, Chris, I can't thank you enough for coming on, man, breaking down the roster for me, you know, helping me get through my, my 6-7 beers here. You are the man, dude.
I had a great time, and for a while, I'm going to be honest, I felt guilty. But
guilty about what?
Guilty as in maybe I was talking a little too much, but...
What are you, hashtagging me too now on me?
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm here to shine the light on my guest stars, man.
Oh, well, I wouldn't call me a star.
Okay, but... I wouldn't either. I was just trying to be nice.
Oh, that's good. That's more what I'm used to. But yeah, no, it was a great time, and I hope, you know, I can just keep spouting off random shit next time when you need somebody.
Hey, when you milking a mouse again?
My next opportunity.
Hey, dude, tell them where to find you on Twitter. Chris Manatee is an amazing person to follow on Twitter. Always there for a good time on hockey Twitter. Where can they find you, bud?
My Twitter handle is at CCOW, SEA_COW. I mean, I mostly kind of whine and about hockey incidents that happen and people's perspective on it. But, you know, I'm always down to just shoot the shit. So, there it is.
All right, Chris, thank you. Thank you very much. Congratulations on whatever college stuff you did that got you to where you're at now, buddy. I'm happy for you. I appreciate you. And I wish you the best, my man. And I will talk to you soon on this same fucking format that we always do.
Absolutely, man. Keep putting on a great show. I tune in every week.
Hey, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, man. You have a good night.
You too. All right. See ya.
Bye. There he is. Chris Manatee. Great man. St. Louis. College educated. College educate. Ugh, I had some beers, guys. I'm sure you can tell. I'm not sorry about it. I want to thank everybody for listening. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys very much. go rate and review us, please. Just rate and review us. Rate and review us. Rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps the show out a lot. Just click 5 stars, type in "these guys are fags." It really helps out the show a lot. I cannot express that enough. We are on Stitcher, TuneIn, Zumelo, fucking Google Play Music. The Facebook, I think, is starting to be activated a little bit. Instagram. Email us at thebiscuitpod@gmail.com. Oh, and I want to thank Dismemberment, a true American heavy metal band, for the package they sent me, specifically Jacob Shively. Thank you, Jacob. I love you very much. I play in a band with Jacob as well called Scum Guilt. But I know I usually leave you guys with the Erica Jane and outro, but I'm going to leave you with a Dismemberment song. Eye of the Keeper.
Whose foot the sun is fading, darkness who stretches long in here, the eye of the keeper, to you he is to command. The reckoning begins, his gaze is almost on you, your flesh becoming cold, embrace the dark twilight, the eve of your excitement. His shadow comes for you, disciple of evil. You betray all that you once knew. Cloak yourself within the mist. Your life ceases to exist. Break is what you are. Slaves to the dark. His reign I won't observe. You shall burn. You'll burn forever.
Psych, you fucking idiots. I ain't not fucking doing it without Erica Jane. How many fucks do I give?